Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head.
Yes, sir.
Look, man, in the building with us right now, we got an activist, we got a rapper, we got so much more, a father, a philanthropist, we got so a dude that I'm really excited to talk to.
Did you say
today.
Philanthropist?
Yeah. Did I say it wrong?
I give money sometimes.
Don't know. He said philanthropist.
Whatever. So, whatever. I mean, I
what's a philanthropist?
I've only been here 10 minutes. I can't start roasting yet.
Not yet. We got, man, propaganda in the house.
What up?
I know, you've been here longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's you've been
true.
Here.
Kind of, you low-key been here. You was on time.
You was.
I was early.
And you know what? You've been here longer than 10 minutes. You kind of overstaying your welcome a little bit.
Oh, word. Dang, we haven't even started yet.
You know what I'm saying?
How's it going right now?
This house going down.
Sometimes
already.
People show up late, but you show up too early. You overstaying your welcome.
Oh, word.
That's how it is. It's like, what, 7, 8
can't win. You can't win. I was like, look, I used to live in Inglewood. It's possible I could drive by this place 4 or 5 times, not know where the door is.
Right.
So I'm like, let me. Grandma used to live around the corner, so I'm like, wait, there's a radio station.
They're like, wait, hold on, I never knew about that.
Yeah. So let me get myself some extra time.
Well, welcome home, man. For the folks that aren't familiar with you, your movement, what you got going on right now,
sir.
I want to let them know, you know, what's happening.
Yeah. So I'm born in South Central. I spent most of my like formative years in the 626 and. You know, San Gabriel Valley. I do hip hop and poetry. I'm part of a small label up in Portland called Humble Beast. Done poetry for a while. My wife and I run a podcast called The Red Couch. She is a PhD in educational policy. I actually helped start. Yeah, she's brilliant.
Wait, are you intimidated by that?
I was at first.
How long ago did you meet your wife?
I met her about 10 years ago.
Met your wife 10 years. Was she already on?
She was in a master's program, and I was like, ooh, yeah.
And you were just a bum.
I was rapping, but actually, I was rapping on the side. I actually helped start a charter high school in Pomona.
Oh,
so I had my chops.
You were already in there.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, it was School of Arts and Enterprise. Like, I helped start that mug. So
right.
It was like, I didn't have a master's.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Wait, I mean,
and she went to UCLA. And oh, I was like, I went to a Cal State. So I was like,
Wait, what Cal State?
Fullerton.
Okay.
With the term subpar Negro.
Subpar Negro.
Where did you meet wife yet?
Actually, I met her at Park Jam in Long Beach.
Wow. At a concert?
No, it's like they do every Sunday. They do like it's like a park thing. It's just like open tables and
oh,
it's
that's
like a
crazy.
Family kick it thing.
Oh, that's dope.
So I met her there, and then I saw her again.
That's way better than the club.
No, I saw her again at the Poetry Lounge in
I was hooked.
No, she was hooked then.
Really?
Turns out.
Oh, so she came on to you?
She came. No, I was hooked at Park Jam.
Okay.
And then, but I was like, "You're hella out of my league." And then,
right.
She saw me perform at
Did
the Poetry
you tell her
Lounge.
That, though?
Oh no, nah, I didn't say a word to her. Like,
no,
I was dating somebody at the time too.
Damn.
Oh, you a two-timer.
No, that's why I stayed out my way. That's why I stayed out her way. I was like, you. Nah. I can't even look you in the eye right now. Like, yeah,
it's gonna be a problem.
So yeah. Did your wife know you was seeing somebody at the time?
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this real quick.
You ain't gotta do it real quick.
Nah.
Let's talk.
This is just conversation.
Yeah.
Just hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically.
How many days before Park Jam where you saw your wife, did you smash the chick you was already seeing?
Damn.
Mm. Hypothetically.
How many days before?
Before Park Jam.
Did I saw her? Dang.
Yep.
It was like 10 years ago, so
yeah,
it was hard to call.
Whatever you can recollect.
Whatever.
We had recently smashed.
You had frequent the other chick's box. And then you met your wife
and
at
then
Park
I met her, and it was just like, oh.
So let me ask you this.
But I didn't hit on to her until 3 years later,
let me
though.
Let me ask you this, though. So after Park Jam, how long did you wait until you cut off the other chick?
We dated another year.
Mm-hmm.
So you and the girl that you were with previously.
Yeah, we dated another year.
And it fizzled out.
Yeah, and then I hit on my wife on a New Year's. It's funny. I actually hit on her after a fail. I went on a tour. I got dumped on that tour.
By her?
No, by because me and her... We were done.
Okay.
2 years later, you know what I'm saying? I go on tour with one of my homeboys, who, if I said, you would know, so probably won't say.
Okay.
Now say it.
I'll get to that.
Okay.
It's because now, okay, so I got dumped.
They're fucking now, that's what it
yes.
is.
Yes. So I got dumped.
Oh, the homie's fucking her now?
No, wait, let me
go
finish.
Go ahead.
So I got dumped.
Oh!
I got dumped for the dude that I'm touring with.
Get the
right?
fuck out of here. Wait.
Yes.
Wait, time out. Hold on.
Is it Ray J?
No.
Yes. No. No, it's not. But they're married with 3 kids now. So it's like, everybody's happy now.
Stevie J?
No.
Who the fuck got
everybody's
3 kids?
Everybody's happy now. These are like LA, like indie underground rappers. Like,
who the fuck got the thirds? How many?
Nah, I'm thinking of one, but I don't think he got
they,
three.
They
kids.
Left L.A. now. They left L.A. They don't live in L.A. no more. But these were
only person I can think of that left L.A., but I think he's back now. Nah, it couldn't be. It
couldn't Man, let's say the fucking name.
Pay dues.
You talking about Merce?
Yeah.
No.
No, okay.
I was about to say Merce?
No, that's my dog.
Yeah, Merce don't seem like the type
Merce
of...
would do that.
Like, but he ain't got three kids either. I think he's got
who
two.
Who the fuck?
He's
got one.
Yeah, going
y'all, do the, y'all talk.
Y'all talk. Y'all figure it out.
Rappers from L.A. with three kids.
Yeah, so... So I got dumped on that tour for him. Mm-hmm. I come back to this New Year's Eve party. And I'm just getting roasted by all the homies.
Oh, because they all knew.
Because they all knew. Damn. They knew my ex-girl from 2 years ago that they had all been kind of keeping their mouth shut about how nobody really liked her.
Wow.
And then and then I just got dumped. So it was just like, your life is terrible.
Like you taking L's.
Taking L's. Before but there were all L's. I know is my wife-to-be at the time is just there looking amazing. So I'm like, why don't you pour me another Hennessy?
See
so
what's
I just
going
like,
on. Right, right.
You know, I just. Dude took another shot and then was like, I'm gonna put my bid in. You know what I'm saying? I got nothing to lose now.
But you're saying that she was on to you once you guys kind of got involved.
So I found out that night.
She was on.
She was like the whole time. She was like, yo, I'm waiting for him to get single.
Get out of here.
I'm like, say
what? This whole time you're thinking you out of the league. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, you got this album, Crooked, that's available right now.
Yes, it is.
Might as well plug your shit before, you
I
know
mean,
what I'm saying?
I mean, since we here.
Why not? That's what you're here for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sixth album? Is this a sixth studio album?
Six album, yeah.
Okay. How do you feel like it? Your
what
life
year was
is,
this? The tour.
Oh, see, I told you.
What
I
year
tried
was
to get you to,
tour?
I tried I to get you to go. I tried to get you to go with it.
This was 2000, the Bruh. New Year's Eve of 2008.
He's looking like underground tours.
2008
tours. You better hurry right now,
I'm
bro.
I'm like debating on saying it because now it's a funny story.
You gotta say it.
But I don't know if it was, I can't put him on blast without like because he's still a homie.
He know. It's like he don't. It's not like he don't know.
Again, we're married with children now, so I guess it's all good.
It's done.
You gonna save me a whole hell of a lot of fucking research. I'm over here like a fucking intern.
So are you? So y'all familiar with LA Symphony?
No.
Pigeon John?
No.
Okay. Well then, cool.
There you go.
See, we don't know that nigga. Anyway.
It wasn't Pigeon John though, but it was a member of LA Symphony.
Okay. So
I'm
there you
just
go.
If you knew his,
you still, you still,
of LA
you still got to do your Googles then. He gonna name the whole LA Symphony then. Right. All right. So Crooked is available right now. Crooked's folks, right support now. That. I actually got a chance to hear the album. Amazing work, man.
Thank
I think
you, sir.
In my opinion, felt like you opened up and not to say that you haven't done it before or anything like that, but it seems like you're tackling on topics and things of that nature where, you know, just opening up more. And I don't know if that's from the poetry side or, you know, how do you feel or what's changed this go around versus the other albums?
Yeah. So my father was... When they got to L.A., he was a part of, like, the Watts chapter of, like, the Black Panthers. Wow. So, like, I come from sort of an activist family, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And so when I fell in love with hip-hop, I fell in love with that aspect of it, right? But I'm in L.A., just a B-boy, you know what I'm saying, battle rapping. And I guess it took me a while to really find who I am as an artist. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with this record, like, I feel like I found it, you know what I'm saying? Like, just the breadth, like, the wide swath of like who Propaganda is.
Why do you think, and just generally speaking, why do you think it takes not a long time, but like why do you think it takes certain times for certain people like to really open
up
and really discover themselves?
I think it's season. Mm-hmm. I think it's maturity. What's happening at home? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think a lot of things, and just like what's the climate of the culture. I feel like for me, that's what pulled it out of me.
Oh, gotcha.
Was like there was always hints of Crooked in other records. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like just the climate of it, like it was almost like a higher call, if you will. Like I don't know how to talk about anything else right now.
Gotcha.
You feel me? It just felt so necessary. And then I think like there's even just your experience with the pen. Like some people are just aliens, like freak of natures, and their first rap is like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe you rapped that well your first time.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
I was like, I mean, it's not like I wasn't. Yeah, I mean, I was decent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I didn't really know how to say what I meant.
Right.
You know, until you do a few. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So I feel like this one was like, I don't know to lose. I've already proven I got bars.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like I've proven that. Yeah. So let me just make the album I know to make.
Now, for you, when it comes to the poetry thing, like, was that something that ushered you into hip hop, or was hip hop the first thing?
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I was just underground battle rapper.
Really? From what age? Like, starting up, like, 14. First time seeing it, like, what was the your introduction?
Well, I mean, hip hop was like, the little boy across the street from me taught me all the words to Paul Revere. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha, yeah.
My father used to drive down to Venice Beach to, like, I thought it was like our like father-son time. Mm-hmm. He would just go to Venice Beach to, like, buy incense. He's buying weed.
Right.
I know now, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Father slang. But anyway, but we would go, and, you know, this dude's spinning on their heads. Like, we was on 67th and San Pedro, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a six-block Crips up there. And I'm like, you know, you go down here, and it's like, that dude's spinning on his head. Like,
y'all don't see this
that's
shit?
That's so much cooler. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So for me, it was like, it was that young. And then just kind of like being skinny, like, I was in a Latino neighborhood, usually through high school. So I just got quicker with my words, you know, and then that's kind of, and then sneaking into Project Blowed at 14, you know what I mean? Wow. I saw when AC Alone did the All Balls Don't Bounce, like, he's when he performed it live. Like, I shouldn't have been there, but I was there.
The experience.
You know what I'm saying? It just was like, what is this? Yeah. You know, so, yeah.
At a time, man, where you know, hip-hop is bubbling, especially in the L.A. scene, too, man. It's just amazing that you can kind of see that, because a lot of people only hear about that.
Yeah.
They don't really actually experience that.
Yeah.
And for that to be your introduction to hip-hop is an amazing experience.
That was crazy, yeah. Poetry was something different. Poetry, I was like chasing a girl. You found him?
Nah, I'm not fucking with this shit. This shit is crazy.
No,
you say you was chasing a girl?
I was chasing a girl for poetry.
Trying to do some shit like, all right, you know.
Yeah, she was the one. She was an upperclassman. It was in college. She was an upperclassman. She actually, she teaches at SF State now.
Get out of here.
But yeah, she was like, she just told me one day as a freshman, like, you know, you could really rap. I bet you'd probably be good at poetry.
He's like, what's
I was
God
like, girl, you feel me, right?
This pen is about then.
Yeah, I showed it. I showed it, went in there, and then, like, that was it.
Did you impress her?
I hope so. I don't know.
You didn't ask. Okay, you didn't.
I was so intimidated by her. She was this little freedom fighter, like. She took a year in the Philippines because she wanted to be a part of the revolution. Like,
get
just
the fuck out of
here. She was a G. You know what I'm saying?
Are you serious?
Yeah, so, like, I mean, she's back now, but anyway.
Nah, I'm just saying that's
yeah, but she was a G, so I was like, I don't know if I impressed her, you know.
Nah, but kind of going back to our original conversation in terms of like how vulnerable you have to get in order to, you know, to open up. Like, I don't understand, like, this whole dynamic with hip hop is a bravado, obviously, sport, but people seem like they when they tend to open up, they see their most success, or, you know, so that's when
absolutely
people actually do that. Why do you think it's kind of hard for people to actually do that, or artists to actually do that, when they know that you're successful at, you know, you're successful
like,
doing it?
I feel like a lot of it has to do, like I said, I think a lot of it has to do with off the mic. Mm-hmm. Like, the more comfortable you are with you, like, I feel like I'm fully reconciled with who I am,
right?
Like, warts and all, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have nothing to prove. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So once I'm okay with me, I can lay this out, you know what I'm saying, and just feel like I don't fear rejection from this.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, I know who I am and I know my worth. Mm-hmm. So I can be honest about me. You feel me? And then as a performer, like, I can't speak for everybody, but I know for me, like, I'm hella more comfortable being open to total strangers. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Rather than people that really know you?
People that actually know me. You know
why is that?
Because they could call me on it. You know what I'm saying?
So you like being able to bullshit?
Or I'm controlling the narrative.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I'm being as vulnerable as I want to.
Right,
you feel
me?
Yeah.
What's crazy is I was just having that conversation today about that, and it was like more or less like what you was just talking about as far as controlling the narrative or providing nuance to a situation.
Yeah.
Because if somebody really knows, like, hey, like, you on some bullshit, right?
Nigga, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, somebody could call you on it.
Somebody can call you on it.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, a perfect stranger doesn't necessarily know you that well, so they don't know if you're lying or not.
Yeah.
But so what conversation do you prefer?
Man, I mean, at the like, if I'm a grow as a man, like,
you have to have
the ones where people know, you know what I'm saying? And I make myself, because of, like, just the nature of being on stage, like, I could, if I wanted to, just keep myself around people that won't ever call me on nothing.
But the thing is, like, okay,
you just can't grow that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was having a conversation about this concept, right? And I want to get your perspective on it.
Right.
It seems like you have
intellectual thoughts, which is uncommon these days. And yes. I appreciate that.
Yes.
So the thing is, Tomas, you got to swing the camera because I'm spitting some shit. No, no, the other one.
They got to see me say
camera
this shit.
Camera two. Yeah.
You, they got to see me say this shit. Yeah,
you
gotta, they
got you dropping these gems over here.
I need some content real quick. Yeah. I need some shit I need to put on some Instagram.
You know what I'm saying? This is what we're going to use for the clip, for Instagram right here. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's how shallow I am. So...
let me catch that.
Right. Yeah, yeah, so I'm gonna ask you this because I think that you have some intellectual sustenance to offer.
Yeah.
How do you feel about uncomfortable conversation?
In what? In just
in
general?
Any facet? Like, do like could you talk to your wife? Like, you've been married how long?
7 years.
Could you talk to your wife about a chick with a fat ass?
I could.
You would
should
not.
I?
No,
that's
no.
A better
would
question.
You? Not should you? Would
yeah.
You?
Okay, yeah, you mentioned kind of mentioned it on one of the records too.
I did. Said, yeah, you know. No, I'm definitely honest about like would struggles
you,
like that.
Are you okay with having a conversation with your let's say your producer about his weak ass beats?
Oh yeah, I'll definitely say that.
So, the interpersonal relationship is not the dynamic.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Yeah, for
so
me,
people
it's more
who are
like
closer to you. It's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, and it's like there's has to be a specificity. There are certain things that I know are triggers for my wife.
Got you.
So I'm like, out of my love for her, I'm not gonna have this because it's like it's not that I'm uncomfortable. I know that that's gonna put you in a bad position.
See,
but that's because I know her specifically. But then there are other things that I'm like, for the sake of our relationship,
you gotta
I have to say this.
Yeah. Okay.
You feel me? And because it's like we made a commitment early on to like never purposefully push each other's buttons.
Mm.
Like where it's like, I'm only doing this because I know it bothers
right.
you. You
right,
feel
right,
me?
Right, right, right.
Like, so we made a commitment to never do that.
But
like,
okay, so what I'm saying, what if you unintentionally
oh, that's different if I'm not.
So if you okay, let me ask you this. This is where I'm going with it.
Okay.
If you do something without malicious intent, it has no malice.
Yeah.
But you inadvertently push her button.
Yeah.
How do you handle that situation?
Well, one, she needs to tell me.
You right. You're in the know now.
So yeah. So if I'm in the know, then
no,
like,
no. She's brought it to your attention.
Yeah. Then I'm gonna. I should humble myself. Didn't just be like, okay, now I know that's off limits. But I need you to understand. As long as she can acknowledge that. She knows this wasn't malicious. You know what I'm saying?
Precisely.
But you have to like, I need you to acknowledge that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You acknowledge that I didn't try it. And then
right. Cause sometimes
once she
you can't
does
let
it,
go.
She's like, yeah, I'm acknowledging that. Right. And I'm not gonna say it didn't hurt,
yeah.
But I'm going to acknowledge that you weren't trying to hurt me. Then I'm
yeah.
like, okay, now we can move on.
So, and then also another question, because I noticed I read a little bit of stuff on you. Are you, where's your family from? Where's your lineage?
I believe DC and Texas, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
But I think ultimately like Ethiopian.
Ethiopian.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then your wife's people.
Acapulco, Mexican. Yeah.
They're straight up Mexican.
First generation.
Wow.
So that's what's interesting about this.
Yeah.
Because this new, I just want to get your take on it real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, talk to me.
The shit with
the DACA joint.
Right. Yeah. Does that affect your family?
Directly.
Wow.
It does, right?
Directly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how like
it affects my
how do you
wife.
Think what do you think about it is what I'm asking like
I actually we were talking about this on the way here cuz like we are part of our podcast we have a thing called Hood Politics
yeah.
cuz I truly believe that like you can understand geopolitics if you just understand gang life
cuz
it's just hood
same
you know what I'm saying
same
it's
shit.
Just, it's the
America's
same
a gang.
It's the same
yeah, they
you
got
feel
colors,
me
they
right
got flags,
so
same shit.
So in my mind I feel like okay so Trump's in a corner right now because the niggas that put him on are like,
where you at?
We need our
run that back.
We need to run it. Run
oh,
it.
They fronted
run.
Him to work.
They fronted him to work. So they like run it. You understand what I'm saying? So they like run it. But his business brain is going, actually, this is dumb. I should
right.
not end this program
right.
because the numbers don't lie.
Right.
DACA's a great program. It works. Mm-hmm. These people don't have criminal records. They had no say in where they were born and that their families were brought. They were minors. They were brought here without any consent. They've given all their information. They complied. They've been through background checks. They have no criminal records.
Right.
They've been accepted to college. They said 73% of these 73% of them own homes.
Wow.
Right? So I'm like,
wow.
The program works.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for him to be like, we need to end this, he knows
right.
this is
bullshit.
Dumb.
Hey,
like,
Trump,
as a businessman,
Trump
you're
is
like,
sitting there in the Oval, I was like, I'm fucking up.
Yes.
Fucking up.
He has to.
Yeah,
because he's
up.
Like, I done sold my soul.
Yeah,
because clearly, If you know this don't make business sense, what's the other sense it makes? Right. Because when you hear DACA, you think Latino.
Automatically.
Immigrants come from everywhere.
Everywhere.
Right?
Yeah.
If these were like Scandinavian models, like nobody would be stopping this mug. You feel me?
True.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, so he's like, crap, I got to answer to these fools. They put me on.
Yeah.
So that's why he's Congress, you do it. You do it, Congress.
You got it.
So the racist motherfuckers, the bigots,
yes.
the people filled with hate are the big homies. And they put their little homie on.
And now, say, okay, you want to be president?
Now that he up, he got to run the work.
Yes, you want to be president, bro? We can make this happen.
Yeah.
We can make this happen.
This is what you got to do.
You can run this whole block. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Matter of fact, we'll front you to work for it. Don't even worry. But we'll talk about it later.
Wow.
Don't even worry about it right now. Yeah. We'll talk about it later.
He got to pay all that shit back.
I got to pay all it back, homie. So, you got to pay it all it back. So he's like, yo, I got to drop the debt ceiling. Yeah. Word? You want us to talk about taxes. Houston's underwater right now. You want me to talk about taxes right now?
Touché.
Right.
You feel me? Run that work, brother.
So let me ask you.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you this. Because it does affect your family directly.
Directly.
First generation, right? Because I know, like, I grew up with Mexicans my whole life.
Yeah,
like,
same here. You're from L.A.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, my thing is, everybody I grew up with wasn't necessarily on the up and up when it comes to paperwork and whatnot. Because it was more...
Of course not.
It was looser back in the day.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking around at people I've known my whole life and they kids.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at the little homies, like...
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, totally. Tomas is 19 or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at people like that. Where it's like, fuck, like, not that Tomas is here.
Specifically, you know, yeah.
But I'm just saying, in general, like I'm looking at the nieces and nephews and shit, and I'm like, damn,
you may not ever see your dad again.
That's fucking crazy.
That's the reality.
It's crazy that, and then I read some on the way in here. That's why I was asking, because it was fresh in my mind. I read some on the way in here. Shouldn't be reading articles on the freeway.
No, you shouldn't.
Should not read articles, on the freeway. But I was reading an article where they were saying that they're going to postpone immigrant roundups in light of the hurricane.
You can postpone it.
They're going to postpone immigrant roundup. That was the verbiage that was used on fucking like NBC or some shit like that.
Fam.
Did you see that?
Roundups. Right now,
do you know what the word roundup?
You know what that? It sounds like cattle. Yeah, like we're talking about. You're talking about animals, fam.
I was like, bruh. Yeah, but anyway, all right.
Yeah, nah, it's crazy. It's crazy. But yeah, I think the big homies are like, you need to run that work.
Yeah. So Trump right now is in a corner.
Trump, he's stuck.
So
and this is me giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
This is me giving him.
Yeah, man.
Because it don't make financial sense to end
at all. We were talking about on the last episode, like, how long do you think he's going to last in office? Do you think that at this point with the people, you know, with the big homies that are letting him do what he's doing right now and he's continuing to fuck shit up, are they going to say, yeah, keep it going, keep him in office? Or do you think he's going to be out?
Man, white supremacy is a hell of a drug, fam.
It is.
So, like, I'm bracing for the reality of 8 years.
Really?
I'm bracing for it. I'm bracing for it.
Wow.
Let me tell you why. Okay, because when he first announced he was going to be president, I giggled.
Everybody laughed at the preliminaries.
And then he started running the table, and I was like, oh, wait.
Bro, and then
you was laughing out. We was all laughing in November.
I was laughing up until I was like, wait, is this shit real?
That's what I'm trying to say. Close. So I'm like, let me just brace myself.
Yeah, for this bullshit.
Because I'm from January of 2015, I thought this was impossible.
Absolutely.
You understand what I'm saying?
Word.
So I'm like, this stranger thing. Fam, okay, let this sink in. I just think about this for a second. An open white supremacist who runs a blog called Breitbart was ahead of his advisor.
Right.
Like, let that sink in.
Wow.
This is where we are right now.
Right.
Damn.
You understand what I'm saying? So I'm like, to Stranger Things, I don't even know how to think about this shit,
but the only reason why I agree with you. Well, not the only reason. Well, one of the reasons why I agree with you is because we just had Obama in office for 8 years.
8 years.
They want a point to prove at this point.
Yeah, I feel like, we took such a blow to just white identity. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and inadvertently, it wasn't on purpose.
Right.
It was just like, if you're gonna I'm gonna get real. I'm gonna get real book learning sociologist. Y'all good? Okay, good. So,
I mean, our listeners are a little. They'll catch up.
They okay.
They can rewind
blown right now, which is it's all good.
Rewind this.
Then this is a good conversation for you. Blown a little bit.
Well versed ambrosia of listeners.
Yes, yes, yes.
But they will catch up.
They'll catch up.
Okay.
So
still,
yes,
I rise.
Oh, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock.
Yeah. Y'all be on the show next week.
Do it, man.
So identity formation is this idea of like the myths and the stories that people tell themselves that shape their identity. And when I say myths, I mean in like a sociological term where it's not where it's like it's true or false. These are just what we tell ourselves.
Right.
You know, the American sort of meritocracy myth that if you work hard, then you'll succeed. Yeah. So it's just this, which we all know it's not. The guy cutting, you know, Paco cutting grass outside. You telling me he's not working hard. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, we know it's a myth, right? But anyway, so all those things that we do to shape our identity, right? You if you have this concept of, like, America is a country of bootstrapping. We fought against tyranny. We stood up. We said we don't believe in this sort of, you know, monarchy. We are the kings of our own destinies, right? And when somebody up there, you know, tries to stop us from getting our own success, we fight and we fight hard and we build militias because you're not going to take my freedom from me, right? And then at some point, America lost their way, right? And they lost their way. So we, the rebels, had to stand for the true America. And our symbol of that is this man, Robert E. Lee, who fought for the truth of what America is. This is who we are. Right, you feel me? Like, that's an identity narrative. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an identity narrative, right? So when it gets so tied up into who you are, and then somebody says, wait a minute, that guy's full of shit. Right. What are you talking about?
Right?
Yeah. No, he's not. He's not a good man.
Right.
Number one, it's not a good man. Number two, that's not what happened. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Right? How crushing that is, not so much to like an identifiable moment of racism. It's this is my very personhood that you're asking me to undo. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's a hell of a question to ask somebody. So that's what I'm saying. So we fortified this identity to be like, yo, this is all we got. And now you're going to come for our statues. Right. And you had the nerve to put one of these fools in office for 8 years. I had to shut up and listen to you talk about everything you are for 8 years. You understand what I'm saying? No, it's time for some get back.
It's the hood.
It's the hood. Mm-hmm. It's the hood.
So the homies from the east side rolled on the homies from the west side. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right,
We'll shut up.
Do your shit. And then now.
Okay,
now we got all the work.
Yeah. And it was like, okay, and now the West Side is like convinced to be like, even if something y'all did was good, I need to undo that because I want no remnants of your success.
So do you think in real life, do you really think that it's Trump specifically or is it his band, the Legion of Doom?
Is it
a band of miscreants?
Man, I don't know, man. I definitely think he's their darling because I feel like if you listen to like specifically like open alt-right, you know, populist nationalists, they're like, no, he's not one of us. He's just opening the door for it. Mm. You know, so he uses language. He uses
the narrative.
Whistles. He uses the whistle. Yeah. So that's what makes me say, okay, you can't be like a New Yorker from Brooklyn all your life, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden sound like this. Yeah. You feel me? So I'm like, I feel like there's something in there that makes you say, no, I don't care about none of this. I'm about these dollars and I wanted this power. And this was the way to do it. You understand what I'm saying? I feel like it's that.
So it's crazy to me because I try to avoid these conversations with simpletons. Just because, you know, it just never going to be
Go nowhere.
Yeah.
But I actually know people at the radio station where I work that are avid supporters of this administration.
Yeah.
And still to this day. Like, I know a white woman. I know a white male.
Yeah.
I even know a couple of Latinos that are pro this administration. And it's crazy to me because it's like, To hear them still advocate for the administration and their family, like your wife, is directly affected by this shit. It's like they're rounding up immigrants.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It sounds like Nazi Germany.
It is. Very similar. Yeah.
When they were rounding up fucking Jews.
Yeah. And the idea is like,
They're rounding up Jewish people.
Yeah.
And putting them in camps and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, we're going to hold off on that. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Yeah.
Right.
Like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah. Messages from Benson.
The idea of like, so if you say to yourself, even as like the immigrant story, like, so my father-in-law, it took him 15 years to get his papers.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
And he was on top of it the whole time?
He was on top of it the whole time. My mother-in-law, she just happened to come around during Reagan, so during amnesty.
Yeah.
So she just has to check in every 5 years and show, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So like, so when you have that disparage, so that's why I could see a Latino being like, nah, fool, like, took me 15 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not finna just, you know what I'm saying? But then on the other hand, I'm like, I got like some church homies. They every year go down to like Mexicali, on the other side of the border, right? Yeah. And build these houses, hand the family these keys, right?
Get the fuck out of here.
Build houses, hand them the keys, right?
That's dope.
The family is like, the family lives in like a hollowed out tree, right? Like it's a tree.
It's
if you've been to Mexicali, it's 900 degrees down there. Wow. So you like, okay, I got two daughters. I could wait 15 years for my 2-year-old to be 17, right? You know what I'm saying? Living in this hollowed out tree, running the risk of running into some of these cartels and losing my daughter.
Yeah.
Or 15 miles that way.
There's
a farm willing to hire me for $15 an hour. If you're a father,
running that.
It's not a question.
Right.
It's not a question at all.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So what the part that bothers me is I'm like, the reality is anyone would do what they did.
Absolutely.
Anyone would do that.
Absolutely.
That's everyone's answer would be that.
Yeah.
15 miles that way?
Why not?
You just need me to what I need to do? Just I need to pick these strawberries. That's it?
That's
don't
it.
Say, don't say shit.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Wait, y'all not gonna do it?
Fuck
okay,
it.
Word.
Y'all don't
want
to do it.
Y'all don't want this? Okay.
Right. Yeah.
It's better than living in a dead tree. Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
So to me, I'm going like you like if you're not looking at this by the sheer numbers or the sheer humanity, you're not really appreciating the situation. Because anybody with any sense that understands numbers, that's why I say Trump's in a corner. Because anybody understand numbers would be like, are you kidding me? This is great.
Yeah.
That's a workforce I don't have to pay right.
Right. And I don't have to. As a society, we can ignore them.
I don't even have to think about them.
We don't have to acknowledge that.
I ain't got to acknowledge them. Yeah. I ain't got to. I'm saying this is like the most dehumanizing term.
Exactly.
We ain't got to pay. They don't need insurance.
I don't have to.
If you run a business,
labor laws don't apply.
They don't apply. Yeah. You can work 12 hours. You can hire your daughter. I don't care. How old is she? 12? Can she carry a basket? Cool.
Boom. Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So if you just a numbers guy, it's ridiculous. Of course, you're just like, no, go down to California, set them up some sort of work release program to where, okay, it's not horrible. You know what I'm saying? It's some paperwork. Offer it to an American first. If nobody takes the job, okay, cool. It's such an easy solution.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
But see, also, you know what? A lot of this rhetoric is coming from Middle America, and Middle America doesn't have the most dense Latino population.
Very true.
So they're not. I actually, and that's another thing. I mean, you got the opportunity to go on tour too, like
on
tour with Merce and everybody. But I went on tour with Tech N9ne.
Yeah,
I've been on two national tours with Tech N9ne, and I've been all
And he got some
that tour routing is crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm in Butte, Montana.
Yeah, he got some fans, boy.
Fort Collins, Colorado, all of these different places. Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to McAllen, Texas.
Yeah.
Like, people don't even know where the fuck that is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've been places where they have never seen a black person.
You were the first black person they've seen.
In person.
Yes.
They gawk at them.
Yes.
Like,
so to me, it's not foreign. Like when you live in a major metropolis like Los Angeles or New York or whatever, it's foreign language to not know what foreigners look like.
Totally.
Quote unquote, indigenous to other countries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So what's interesting about what you said is like, yeah, out here, we get it. This is California. This was taken from, you know what I mean?
It's
Texas was taken from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
But I don't necessarily totally, I know, don't get me wrong, they're fucking assholes. Like, these people.
No, I get what you're saying.
They're assholes.
It's experience.
But I don't necessarily blame. It's kind of like if my brother is in the third grade, he hasn't learned multiplication yet. Mm. I don't blame him for not knowing 2 times 2.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally, yeah.
So it's kind of like, just because I have that rational process.
Yeah, but that's the part. I mean, I'm going to give them that, but I think that's the part that bothers me. Because if you're in, I played a show in Billings, Montana.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And so when you say, well, what's the problem with like Latino immigrants, you're saying they're taking our jobs.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, which one of them is taking what job from you?
Right.
There's none of them are here.
Right.
So you're not losing any jobs at all. Exactly. So
it's
what
the
I'm saying is
notion
that,
of,
that information is being piped into them.
Well, no, here's the thing. This is also what you have to understand. And I only understand this because of dealing with social media for so many years in the jobs that I've had. Social media, like, we move faster in major metropolises than other regions, mm-hmm. right? So whereas if you go in you've been in the Midwest, they be on Facebook.
Yeah.
They be
on Facebook.
They not really on Twitter like that.
Yeah,
they not really up on the gram like that. They definitely not on Snap.
They not on Snap.
You know what I'm saying? Because when I was going out, it was Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
That was it. Twitter was really popping. Uh-huh. Instagram was sub under Twitter at that point. But they were still on MySpace.
Wow.
When we would go to these places, they'd be like, hey, what's your MySpace? This is 2000. This is 2010. They're like, yeah, what's your MySpace?
But I'm
like,
bro,
I don't even know.
I
have no idea.
Wow. I don't remember the password, dog.
So,
you can add me if you want. Yeah.
They're behind in every facet. So the reason why my point of saying that is they're also behind in industries.
For sure.
And so enterprise and industries have gone outsourced.
Yeah.
China pretty much own us at this point, much debt we but
say words.
China, India, just like when you call and you get routed to a call center out of the country. Now, that's how they're beating the labor laws and whatnot because it's like, well, we'll just digitally route you to another country where there aren't laws like this.
Yeah.
So that's how major corporations do it. But here's the thing. The reason why I say that is because these people who live in middle America, these, like you say, these white supremacists and all this kind of shit, they think that these immigrants are coming in and taking the jobs.
Yeah.
The coal mine, that shit is over with.
It's the just, automobile the industry's
industry,
moved on.
The automobile industry, that shit's not coming back to Detroit. It's over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just not happening.
Yeah.
So like
the culture moved on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now they're tech startups. Mm. You know what I'm saying? There are autonomous vehicle programs and different shit. There's enterprise and apps and companies that do marketing and promote. There's a social media managers.
Yeah. Yes.
That wasn't even a thing 7 years ago.
Right.
So what I'm saying is they're stuck in the mentality of their jobs went away because of these people.
And see, so to your point, it's a very curated narrative to say, like you said, it's the immigrants' fault.
Exactly.
Right. But what you articulated is, a corporation made a financial choice and said, this is a better option for me. So if you run from a government perspective, then which it's real easy if I still want the money to flow and to be like, oh, no, it's their fault.
Exactly,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
When the truth is, you could stop that. You could just be like, no, you're not allowed to outsource.
Yeah.
You need to, you know what I'm saying? So if it is just about, if you really are about these people, right, then you don't try to like, nobody came to like Blockbuster's rescue.
No.
You know what I'm saying? When like Netflix started. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Power record.
Yeah, nobody came to their rescue. Oh, like, you know what I'm saying? Did you see anybody like fighting for pagers?
Fuck.
Right. Like, no. You know what I'm saying? Industry moved on.
Did nobody give a fuck?
Nobody cared. You have to learn. You
feel me? Skytale.
And I'm like so I'm going, you know how easy it is to take a coal mine, flatten it, and put some wind turbines on top of it and take the same dudes that work there and train them on a wind turbine.
Mm, right.
And I'm like, this now you have a job. You know what I'm saying? And if we going to talk about government, the money you got, then I'm like, okay, the same subsidies, right, that you're spending money on this, that's a government subsidy. Like in all the documents say that the vast majority of welfare recipients are poor whites.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so if you have a problem with welfare, well, then there it is. There's your job training. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to train you at an industry that we'll use rather than saving one that we know we're not going to.
It's gonna be
going back to your point, which is where my heart kind of goes out to them because I'm like, God,
had no idea.
He like, working y'all,
right?
You know what I'm saying? He's just playing you because that's that. They're not gonna save Cole.
Well, see, the thing
we're not
is,
gonna save Cole.
Also, also, what I noticed too about the narrative that they paint is a lot of times like that I ain't gonna lie. I don't remember who it was or I don't remember what I saw or what I read, but it was somebody attesting to the fact that that was his initiative and that was his agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go after these types
totally.
Of people. Because these types of people are going to be the ones to rally behind what I'm saying.
Totally.
And
it worked.
Low key, I think Trump's a piece of shit. Okay.
Ain't no low key
about
it.
Got low key like, right.
No. Let me explain. I don't think he believes a lot of shit he be saying.
I don't either.
This regular him saying opposite shit. So
you said what?
This regular him going the total opposite of what he did.
That's what I'm saying. So it's kind of like those dudes who with the shit, but not. Like all the homies from Long Beach say cuh.
Yeah.
But ain't all them Crips.
All right. Y'all ain't Crips. Yeah, you right.
Yeah.
So you Trump, right. I'm with it.
Trump it's out like, there saying cuh for real. Like,
yeah, Trump out here saying cuh all day.
Right. Yeah.
But it's like when really? The homies roll up, it's like, no, I'm not from the hood.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't condone this behavior.
Man. Yeah, just plausible deniability.
All
man.
Sides are bad. Gangbanging is bad.
There's no other way around.
No, yeah. Fuck you, dog.
Yeah, dog. Just now you want all the benefits. Without yeah, putting in the work.
Yeah. Well, hearing you guys go back and forth with this has me thinking, like, you're right. Like, people in the Midwest, they have no idea what's going on. They, you know, obviously being fed the information. But how do you explain, like, the Latinos for Trump? You know what I'm saying? People that are directly affected by it, but, you know, that this is...
I think that, like, so just in the reality is, historically speaking, like, Latin America is considerably conservative and is... very Catholic, you know what I'm saying, and very anti-abortion, and you know what I'm saying, and this idea of like absorbing the American dream, because they're still going, well, again, y'all don't live in hollow out trees, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, so they're like in their brain, it's like, no, there's opportunity here, mm-hmm. like you don't understand how good you have it, you understand what I'm saying,
true.
So they're like, there's still that part of it there to where it's like, nah, like. It's great. Right, it's gray here. Like, have you been to El Salvador? Right. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck so this up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of on some nat. You feel me? That I, from what I've noticed, what my wife's kind of told me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because we were talking to the homegirl Abby. Her brother is right. for Trump, and she's like, for the life of me, I don't understand it. Like, and we've had debates, and it just doesn't get anywhere because he sees one side of it, and I see another side of it. So. So, you know, unfortunate that's the way it is.
But. I don't know. Like, to go back to your question, I don't know how to explain Latinos for Trump. I don't know what I would like to talk to somebody. Maybe we could talk to her brother about it, because I don't understand. Like you said, I do think that it comes from a conservative origin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The origin is conservative. However, I just don't. Okay, me. I'm gonna give you a personal example. I'm very self-sacrificing.
Yes.
So. And he seen me do it.
Yeah.
And actually, that's part of my, again, I'm just radically honest.
Yes.
So I will be honest at the detriment of myself.
Yeah.
So I would tell, I've actually told a woman, no, you should not take me back.
Yes.
I love this girl.
Yes.
And I'm there asking her to take me back.
But you probably shouldn't do it.
But you should not do it.
Yeah.
I gave her sound advice in the heat of an emotional exchange, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that people are built like that. Not the majority of people.
Yeah.
So when you say, when you take it, that's the kind of mindset it would take for a Latino for Trump to exist. It would be like, you know what? Yeah, send my niece and my nephew and my T.O. back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Send them back right now.
There's a...
Even though I'm like...
Yeah.
It to me...
I think that there's a... Because the intersections of like, which I'm pretty sure you picked up on on my music is like, I'm like a man of faith, you know
absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Right, right.
So, like, there are moments in the same way that we sort of look at each other where we're like, I don't understand how Christians are backing him either. Mm. You know what I'm saying? There's been times dudes get on the screen and, like, at our church, we're going like, what?
What?
Right, you know what I'm saying? So there are things that I find bewildering, too. So I'm like, but at the end of the day, I have to say, okay, so where are you wrapping your identity in? Like, what's the hill you're dying on? You know what I'm saying? And what we found, at least with, like, American sort of evangelicals, is, like, you're dying on this, like, patriotic sort of conservative.
Soapbox.
The soapbox, yeah, which is really just.
It's bullshit.
It's just right-wing patriotism. You know what I'm saying? That you've
somehow put like a Jesus veneer over, you know what I'm saying, and convinced yourself that that's the faith. Yeah. You feel me? Yeah. So that's the, because that, for me, I'm like, that's the only way
it makes sense.
You can make this make sense. Because I'm like, that, you, it's just, I'm saying just from a sheer, in-house, like I'm on the team perspective.
Yeah.
If a person says to me, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I'm like, oh, word. And then, which was an interview. You ever, so what do you ever ask for forgiveness? And the guy goes, nah.
Right.
I'm like, bam.
You're not practicing.
You're not. That's the entrance. Yeah, like that's how you get in. You know what are you talking
that's
about?
The secret handshake.
That's the handshake, fam. Like, I don't understand.
Where you go?
What do you? Right, you feel me? So I'm just saying, just from a sheer like logical perspective, I'm like, I can't faithfully call you one of us. Mm-hmm. If I'm like, you tell me you never asked for, so you never wrong. You just try to do better. I'm like, that's so like a rapper, that's the opposite of the faith.
It's like a rapper who don't rap. Like,
ah, oh, man, I'm not a rapper though. Like, word.
Yo, that actually brings me to my next question. We can kind of go on this tip.
Good.
Like you mentioned, you know, obviously you're a man of faith.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think about labels in hip hop? Like, you got Christian rap.
Yeah.
You got mumble rap. Yeah. You got all these other subgenres of rap. Do you think it helps or hurts the culture?
I think there's two sides of that coin. I think there's rap that we qualify by its sound, and then there's rap we qualify by its content.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the sound one helps more. Okay. Like mumble, that's a sound. Mm-hmm. So you could talk about whatever you're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? It's a sound, like underground stuff. That's a sound. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a content thing. Mm-hmm. It's just when you start getting to talking about like the content. So this is like Christian, but there's mm-hmm. but there's no like Muslim rap.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
so it's like that's the part where it gets unhelpful to me.
Or even like gangster rap.
In my mind, that's a sound.
Right.
You feel me? Because I'm so. Like because no, we asking. Mean West. Mm-hmm. You feel me? But
right.
I'm like, you tell me Mobb Deep weren't gangsters. You feel me? Like you see what I'm saying? So like to me, I feel like. It's helpful in a sense of at least kind of understanding, but I think in some ways, I can speak very specifically for like the religious part of it is like I feel like we don't really know what we mean when we say that, and this is what I mean by that because I'm like so if you're saying if it is content then Abstract Rude's a Christian rapper then Chance is a Christian rapper, you know what I'm saying? All these dudes are, if it's content,
right,
you know what I'm saying? But they're like, but if it's just like, was because they cuss, and I'm like, if that's the case, then again,
Chance is not,
or there's plenty of dudes who feel nothing toward, no affinity towards the faith, but just made a clean album. Mm-hmm. And so you're saying clean is all it needs to be that, you feel me? Is it what you believe personally? Well, I know dudes who do Christian music that, don't believe none of it.
Wow. Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Hell
so
yeah.
Right? So
I know
I'm like
pastors that be
I know
on that
pastors that don't believe
they
it.
They be on that bush.
They just out here working.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So
ain't
so
that a bitch.
Yeah, so I really feel like for real, I feel like we don't know what we mean when we say that. So I think at the end of the day, I believe that like your music should be honest, you know what I'm saying, and a reflection of who you are as a person, you know what I'm saying? And then but if it's a matter of like where to file this on iTunes, man, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like
music.
You feel me? Music. I'm like, if it's gonna help you get to the record, then you could call it whatever you want. You feel me? So I think that it's helpful in
so to you the content is way more important than the label.
If we're gonna call it
something.
Right, you know what I'm saying? But I think the label should be like good. You feel me? Like to me, I'm like, just make good music.
So, okay. So if you were, let's say the CEO and chairman of hip hop, mm-hmm. right? Would you get rid of all the labels and just, it'd be hip hop or? How would you break it? How would you simplify it?
No, I think hip hop to me, I feel like it's explained much better regionally than
a mass scale.
Yeah.
And see, the thing is, this is why I'm glad he brought that up because even like in radio or even like I notice now in award shows, they've combined it's hip hop and R&B.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's kind of like
I feel like that's not fair.
That's not really fair because you might put Beyonce against
Migos.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Give me a fucking break.
Yeah. Like, our homeboy Lecrae, like, he won.
Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, yeah. Lecrae won, won a gospel Migos, BET award. Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to do that.
Are you fucking
Yeah, there's no way I'm winning.
Put Beyonce and Adele together.
They together.
Let them do their shit.
Yes. That's
I don't want to go against that motherfucking... What?
I'm never going to win.
Never.
So, yeah, our homie Lecrae, like, he won a gospel BET award.
Right.
And, like, Hezekiah Walker in there. That's my dog. Yeah. Like, that's my dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he won that. And then Hezekiah Walker and them was like, you need to get that back.
Hot.
You ain't no gospel artist. He was like, you're right, I'm not. I mean, but I didn't tell them to.
I didn't tell them
to put it in that category. That's what I'm saying. So that's what I mean by, like, it's by its content. And it's like, well, that's not.
Right.
He's a rapper. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? What?
Yeah. So let me ask you this then. As a rapper, you're an artist yourself. Would you rather, like, say me and Chuck. Me and Chuck are the committee, right?
Yes.
And we decide who gets awards and all that kind of shit, right? We're active members of the voting, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
So would you rather give artists the power to turn in a body of work, like you brought vinyl.
Yes.
And say, this is Christian rap.
Uh-huh.
And then we gauge it as such. Or do we decide as critics of the culture decide what it is?
Because here's the thing.
The culture. Okay,
I think the culture.
But here's
decide.
The thing, though. If you give the power to the artist, Eminem could have turned this shit in and said, this is Christian rap.
I know.
Or 50-year-old, 60, 70-year-old white men
that don't
know shit about Chance the Rapper. Or that's why it took him so long
to get his accolades.
And Lecrae took him long to get his accolades.
Yeah.
And people, all these different people that are great.
Yeah.
It takes them so long because people that are not necessarily of the culture or involved or whatever are deciding and classifying what your body of work is. So it's kind of like you fucked if you do, damned if you don't.
You're right. But I think the culture has already decided. And I think that's the reality
we're in. You know what
I'm saying? No, I get it.
But I think that's the reality we're in. The culture's already decided. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, if you content-wise, again, you put Lecrae's album next to Chance's. Mm. I mean, the reality is Chance's album is much more Christian. He's covering a worship song.
Yeah, exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's, like, they sing that on Sunday mornings. Like,
Touché.
That's not on Lecrae's record. You
right.
feel me? So the reality is the culture's already decided. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I think at the end of the day is kind of what you're saying, to where it's like it kind of is what it is. You throw your juice in the well. You know what I'm saying? You sell your record, you sell your concert ticket, and you just like you serve the people that come.
But I'm just saying though, like what's the solution is what I'm trying.
I don't know.
He's like,
okay, I don't know.
I'm cool with I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
The only reason why I brought that up, no, I don't have a solution at all because I feel like
you let the rapper decide or you let the.
That's the thing. I like the concept of the culture deciding, but then who are you putting in place to be in the culture? Like, how do you swap these motherfuckers out?
Exactly.
Amount of time?
At what
like,
point
who,
do you age out? Or
that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like even
doesn't
me,
age
even
out.
I'm using myself as the sacrificial lamb, right?
Yeah.
I'm not as in touch with what I was in touch with
totally
10 years ago.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm totally
new dudes that like it's new dudes that's popping up that's rapping and whatnot. Now me and him used to be at ground
Everybody.
Level because
I mean,
we're accessible at that point.
Right, right.
But now, like as you level up and as you do different things and you accomplish different feats in life, you naturally progress.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're not on the ground level.
Yeah.
You start off as infantry.
Yeah.
You start off as a private. And you are going up to a general and all that kind of shit and you get up, you know what I mean?
But yeah.
So what I'm saying is at what point do you swap the generals out.
Totally. Yeah, I never want to be
no
the guy.
Solution,
in the,
like,
yeah, I never want to be the guy at the barbershop like, Kool Moe Dee is the greatest rapper alive.
Exactly.
Like, I never want to be him. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Yeah, I always want to be like, nah, yeah, that's the young boys. I'm not going to try to do that.
Okay.
But that's the young boys.
Right,
like,
right,
that's
right.
what they do.
Coming
I know what
to,
I can do.
Yeah. Coming back, this is what we're talking about. Lonzo Ball.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right? With the Nas thing.
With the Nas thing. God. He said, Migos and Future is real hip hop. Nas.
You know what? I got to hear the actual quote. What did he actually say?
I'm gonna pull it up for you.
Okay, what did he actually
that was
say?
A little heartbreaking, but I feel like there's a bigger conversation there, which is like the idea of like the continuum. Like if you feel like I feel like we did a bad job. When I say we, I mean like us that like grew up, I feel like who grew up in like 90s hip hop, you know what I'm saying, that we would call like golden age stuff. I feel like we did a bad job of like making them feel like they're part of the story.
Right,
you understand?
Right.
Part of the movement. Because I feel like that's what happened with me. Mm. Like the older dudes in front, like I felt like I was a part of something bigger.
Embraced.
I was being brought into a broader story. I feel like we did not do that. You understand what I'm saying? So you get dudes like Lonzo that's being like, well, nah, all y'all did was make fun of us. You just told us we weren't doing it right. So yeah, all right, we're gonna do our own. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like, especially again from LA rap, right, like that's what we did. We were like, okay, well, we're not New York, we're not gangster rappers. We're gonna do all this. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the quote. It says, y'all outdated, man. Don't nobody listen to Nas no more. Real hip hop is Migos and Future. End quote.
Yeah, well, that's a dumb quote. But
but what I'm saying is,
he's got a point.
He's what, 18?
18, 19.
The problem with that quote and what he says, real hip hop. If he says that's current hip hop, okay. If you can say current hip hop is Migos, you're right. Current hip hop is Migos. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I give him that. But I think that's, you brought up a good point, is they don't feel like they're being ushered in. Anything that was outside, and that's why I brought up the subgenres, because anything that's outside of the boom bap, the 90s, the golden era.
We did a bad job.
They feel disconnected.
Job.
Yeah. Even Uzi. Uzi got almost the number one album in the country, right?
Yeah.
He got the number one album in the country, and he doesn't classify, we were talking about himself as a rapper.
Right.
Yeah. He's not a rock star. I'm a rock star. So it's like there is a disconnect with hip-hop that...
I wish we could go back and just kind of be like, those are our homies. You know what I'm saying? That's a little homie. That's what he do.
But I also think, like, because a lot of it is a disconnect, and they didn't usher in. Mm-hmm. But I think that what you're trying to articulate is how the generation prior to this generation in hip-hop didn't usher in a new generation. It's also because a lot of it was destructive.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it, because this is what I was trying to explain to one of the OG homies. He was like, these little niggas is weird. That's what he said. that's what he said.
That's true.
That's his
like,
quote. Like, that was his quote.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One of the OG Crip homies.
These
little niggas is weird, cuz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotta put the cuz on there.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing, though. I'm like, what did y'all used to rap about? We used to sell dope, sell trap.
Yeah.
Okay. So y'all was the D-Boys. The new kids are the fiends, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So when I was telling them, I said, who the fuck did you think you were selling this shit to when you was a D-boy?
Ouch.
Dang.
Ouch.
Case closed.
On that note.
Doom, doom, doom.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So it's like when you sell, you out here selling, you big.
Selling to somebody,
selling to somebody. You selling to the motherfuckers that you see now.
Yeah.
That's what.
They grown up, and that's who they are. That's what they made them.
Exactly.
Dang.
That's the same thing he said.
Just because you're right.
Right. Now, I do want to flip topics again, man. We were talking about this earlier as far as marriage and all that. How do you feel like marriage and fatherhood has changed you as an artist?
Oh, my gosh, dude. Like,
how many kids you got?
Two daughters.
Shit. You was a hoe. You got two daughters?
Two daughters.
Hey, I was talking to Charlamagne about that shit. He was like, yeah, I'm being paid back for that bullshit.
Wow.
How has it affected your career?
I definitely feel like I've become a better man because of it.
Nice.
I definitely feel like the humility aspect of it is like, I feel like I'm like, everyone in my house speaks a language that I don't.
you understand what I'm saying? Women.
So I'm just like, I don't. I feel like I'm always somehow or another trying to translate. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or like, I'm listening to what you're saying and I'm going, wait.
Listen, let me tell you something.
I got to think about that for a second. Right. And then I can't just respond because sometimes, like, notice how like loud we have just gotten by just, and we're not mad.
No.
We're actually enjoying ourselves.
Right.
Right. So sometimes I'm just excited and I'm like, yo! And then my daughter's like, why are you screaming? And then my wife's mad, like, babe, why are you always yelling? And I'm like, I'm just like, oh my gosh. Bruh. Like, sometimes, or I respond, and then you add like the first generation Latina with the black. So there's all these like other things to where I'm like, in my family, like, you know how black people are with our children.
Right.
We're mean,
right.
Like we're mean to our kids.
That's
just how we talk to our children.
Fucked up little.
You understand what I'm saying? Sprout your leg, girl. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like. Yeah.
You know, we just fucked up snacking too.
Yeah. You know that's what I'm saying? Yo, to our children.
My family called me Captain Hook for the longest, dog. I got a hook in my head.
Dog.
For the longest time.
Yes. My mom used to say I was fish eyed. She was like, yo, fish eyed. I'm telling you.
Right? I got y'all both. Who the fuck wants to be called head?
Yes. 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 My sister used to call me head.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's just how we get in.
Head. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, like, so. The head. So the just head. Those things where you're just like, this is just normal.
Yeah,
that's how way I like having like daughters had to make me go, okay, this is, I okay, yeah. It's not, I guess it's not normal. I just have to learn. Just have to learn. Here's the best example of this is, so my wife, though, she was born in Huntington Park, East LA.
Ooh,
Huntington Park.
You got a real Latina.
She raw, right? Then she lived in Acapulco.
She from HP?
Yes.
Damn.
Yes.
Damn.
Then she lived in Acapulco till junior high, and then she came back, right?
Her family don't fuck with you, huh?
No, they love me.
Really?
Because I bring home the bacon. I take care of the kids.
Hello.
So they like, he's a hard worker.
Let
that's all
know.
That matters, right? All right,
yeah, all
right. So, like, yep, that's right, that's right. But he's a hard worker, right? Yeah, I like him. He's a hard worker. Yeah, so like that was my father-in-law's exact phrase. Like, he's a hard worker. He works hard. Anyway, my daughter, my eldest daughter, second grade, she comes home, she gets pushed off the monkey bars. And you know, you see a kid, you can tell they were crying, but they good now, right? So just, you know, my antennas was like, how was your day? Are you okay? And she was just like, I got pushed off the monkey. Right? She's trying to hold back her tears. And so I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, are you okay? Like, what? And she was like, she wasn't hurt. She wasn't mad. She was just confused as to why this little girl thought it was okay that she could push her off, right? And I had the wherewithal, which was, like, embarrassing because she's my daughter. I had the wherewithal to be like, well, you know, maybe she had a – I remember I read this article on PBS about, like, elementary girl economy, how best friends work. Like, how it's like that's currency. Like, it's a dollar. Like me good. And you can't own the same dollar.
Right.
I can't spend this dollar and you spend it at the same time. So if you're her best friend, you can't be mine.
My best
that's
friend.
Not how it works.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? So, like, it's currency. So, like, I was reading up on this. You know what I'm saying? I got two daughters. So I'm like,
I gotta know this
right?
Shit.
Exactly. So I'm like, who's her friend? Maybe you were talking to her. Maybe you hurt her feelings. I don't know. Maybe it happened 3 months ago. You never know. Maybe you should humble yourself. Yeah. Like, next time, kind of tell her, like, yo, I don't appreciate that. If I hurt your feelings, I had the wherewithal to tell her that. I just know, like, that's why God didn't give me no boy. Because if my son would have came home on some, he got pushed off the mug. Nigga, push you off the what?
Yeah.
Did you throw hands?
Right, yeah.
Son.
Right.
Throw hands.
Yeah.
No, get in the car. Hands. Like, let's go.
Yeah. Ride
well, I'm going to figure out. Right. Look, I could call, find out where he live right now. That's right. Easy. Let's throw hands. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, that's the wrong answer.
That's the wrong answer. You're
the
wrong
doing it. Yes, that's the wrong.
You realize you're the adult.
Yeah, I'm the adult. And I'm like, that's the wrong answer.
Right now.
But just like learning that, like, nah, I need to. Now, at some, because I'm mad and I'm like, yo, this little girl pushed you off the monkey bars, really, because she can. Mm-hmm. And you just taught this whole mm-hmm. playground
yeah.
because you ain't do nothing mm-hmm. that now, if anybody want to get you off the monkey bars, I got to just push you. You feel me? Yeah. So I'm like, so my wife's Huntington Park antennas are starting to like
did she start chime in. She
was on some like, she needs. My wife was like on some like, she needs to throw hands.
Yeah.
Like she and I was like, okay, we're grown-ups now.
Right,
like
right.
We can't
throw
tell
this
our children.
7 years ago.
We can't tell our children to throw hands.
Honey, we can't throw
we
hands.
Go to jail right, then. You right. know what I'm saying? So like, but we were both kind of looking at each other like, yo,
so you gonna tell her to throw hands or me? No?
Shit, okay, what do we
right. One of y'all gotta be the bad parent?
Yeah. I've already made it clear, like, okay, if there is a reality that you have to teach other girls that they can't do this to you. That's the way I had to say it. And I'm like, and if you happen to teach her
with your hands,
I will not be mad at you.
Right.
You will not be in trouble at home. I can't say nothing about what the school's
right,
gonna do.
Right. Or the law.
Yeah, or the law. Can't say nothing about that. But if you get suspended, we're probably going to Disneyland.
Right.
Because I'm so proud of you
right.
for throwing hands.
Daddy's gonna love you so
Daddy's
much.
Daddy's so yeah. proud of you. But I'm not encouraging you to do this. I'm just saying if you so happy
to strike this little
Yes, yes, yes.
Girl.
My daughter will never. Neither my baby would do it probably, but that my eldest, there's no way in the world.
Yeah. But has it affected the career in a
absolutely
in a positive way in terms of like the grind even
I'm writing
harder.
Better. I'm more focused on the grind. Like I think better about touring, so I'm like I'll say no to stuff. Like sometimes it's like a lot of times you can get into music, you feel like if I miss this opportunity, nothing's never gonna come again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But now I'm cool with being like.
Can't do that.
I can't do it. Sense, you know what I'm saying? I've learned how to. I take a week off every month. Mm-hmm. I take a month off every year.
Dope.
Right? I keep touring. If I'm going to tour, it has to be Thursday to Sundays because like my daughters need a consistency.
Right.
You feel me? Like, and I think just having, but that's like so now, if someone asks me to come because they know I'll say no. They'll now up the asking price. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy. So once I started being disciplined, being like, I'm only available for 3 weeks out the month and it's only Thursday to Saturdays. Wow. They were like, well, what's the dollar amount that'll get you out the house?
On Wednesday.
And I'm like, well,
actually,
we can talk about that. You feel me? So like,
I can take my daughter to Disneyland with this money. You know what I mean?
Feel me? So like, but those things that made me be like, okay, so now if I'm saying I'm getting more per gig, then that means that's less gigs I have to take.
Right.
You feel me? Which has helped the touring, right. So now it's like it's not so easy to catch a propaganda show because you never really know
when it's going to happen,
when I'm going to come again.
That's
so it's this weird, like, this weird thing that somehow or another that discipline has helped.
Yeah, I brought that up because I recently saw a Facebook post today of somebody that that said that it was just like, yo, you know, this is going to be my last show because I got to look my daughter in the eye.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I can't. Chasing these shows and doing this left and right. Obviously, he was in a different situation.
Totally.
And financially, it wasn't working out for him.
Yeah.
But I always just figuring out like how that the mentality of people with that works. Like, does it make you grind harder? Does it?
Made me grind smarter.
That's
it may just made me smarter. You know, and that's like because it's like it's either that or quit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find something
that's
else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I felt like it just, it was at a place where it was like, every time I thought about like, you know what, man, let me just do something else. Something drops in my lap and I'm like, dang, maybe this ain't it.
Amazing,
you know what I mean?
Man.
And, but it just made me smarter. You know, I took the L financially. I said I would never do this, but I took the L and like hired an assistant,
really?
To like make sure my calendar's right. Cause there'd be times that I'm like, man, my wife will be like, what time do you fly out? And I'm like, man, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
I'm flying out.
Tomorrow, right? So, like, I was like, look, she's worth every dollar just in the sense that she makes through my wife's calendars updated.
Mm.
So I didn't have to tell her, yo, I got to drive to Inglewood tonight.
Right.
Like,
right.
She saw it was on her calendar also.
Dope,
feel me? Because I would have forgot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No. And been like, yo, babe, I gotta go.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
and she was like, word, I'm actually having drinks with
like,
you. You know what I'm saying? I thought
like
you
didn't
had
tell
kids.
Me. Right.
So if not, my two daughters
would have been right here.
Right.
Long.
There.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's but dope. Yeah, like.
Now the album's out right now. Again, people support that. Crooked. What do you feel like? I want to bring this back. We do something called the business card track, right? So for the folks that actually grab the album, support it, right? What do you feel like is the best representation of propaganda right now that's off the album? If you're walking up to somebody on the street and you got to hand them a business card, a track off the album, which one is the best representation of you right now? He's like, phone a friend?
Effecto,
phone a friend?
Cynical, do no wrong.
You got one.
Yeah, he said a track.
One track. I'm trying to figure it out.
Down. You would the phone a friend? Who you want to call?
I'd say do no wrong. Right. Oh, I would say do no wrong.
And that's the one you pay homage to Cali, man. I love
yes.
that. I love that
Thank
song.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's a great record, by the way.
Thank you, man.
Really love that song.
And you know Thank what?
You got to do the video for that.
That's the plan.
Please do the video.
That's the plan.
And what I've noticed in your videos too, you don't. Well, at least the latest ones.
Yeah, I'm not in them.
You're not in them.
Yeah.
By design.
Yes.
Why is that?
Aesthetics. Mm-hmm. Just trying something different. I think. Like when we shoot videos, my thing is like I want to shoot with a director that doesn't need direction. Then I'm just like you.
Direct,
I just
do your
trust
thing.
You.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Make this like make a film.
Yeah.
You feel me? So I just felt like for this record, like I just wanted to try something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like what if I was just background noise
for
the visuals?
Right.
You know what I mean? And each of them were like that.
What, for me, it just as somebody that's consuming music, like it forces me to pay attention to the message of the music too.
Oh, you know
what
I'm saying?
That's what I really appreciated about it. And the Olympian video, where did you actually go?
Yo, so that is this. It's a organization called Preemptive Love. Mm-hmm. So we actually they just sent us a hard drive. That's Fallujah.
That's Fallujah in
Mosul.
Wow.
And it's like those are like real refugees. Yeah. Like that's really happening in ISIS controlled regions.
Wow.
Right? They are really doing first responding aid, and they were doing like so all the babies that are getting like operated on. Mm-hmm. So that's from like the backstory with them is like those kids are from like generations of like chemical warfare, like from the 90s that we did,
get
that America
the fuck
did.
Out of
so
here.
Kids are born with like congenital heart problems.
Wow.
Damn.
Right? So this organization, this dude's from Texas. So he moved his family out there, right? And started this organization where he was doing these like these medical procedures for these kids, you know what I'm saying, who all were all born with bad hearts, right?
Damn.
And while he was doing that, freaking ISIS came into power.
So they
did that, and then they started switching a lot of their focus to like first response.
Damn, that's crazy.
It's crazy. Now, yeah. So that's my homeboy. So I was like, yo, can you just send me footage?
Yeah.
And yeah, so he just sent the footage.
That was intense, man. I think it brought visual, like I said, brought more visual to the message.
Yeah.
And it's just dope. It's dope, man. I like the fact that you did that because you pay attention more to what's going on, man.
Hey, you know what? Hold on. Before we close out, I don't really be fucking with a lot of people. I fuck with you.
Nigga, that's what I needed
to
hear.
Yeah, no, on some real
shit. I appreciate that.
On some real
shit.
I fuck with you.
Hey. You hear that? You hear that? West.
And the thing is, man, what we like to do, man, just celebrate what you love. There's a lot of people and a lot of talk going on in terms of we've talked about hip-hop today, the different subgenres, and you even admitted, like, as a golden age baby, like, all right, maybe we didn't put the arm around you, but even now, like, I encourage people, like, there's nothing wrong with the mumble rap. There's nothing wrong. Like, celebrate what the fuck you love. If you don't like that shit,
cool. Yeah.
There's other options out there. You know what I'm saying?
And you gotta be salty.
And I hate when people say, man, even because, you know, we work on the radio and people, oh, man, there's no good hip hop out there, man. All it is this. Well, motherfuckers, support the motherfuckers that's out there.
How about that?
That's doing that. And brings me to my point. Support this album.
Appreciate it, man.
Available right now. Yeah. Propaganda. Appreciate you coming on through.
Hey, man, I fuck with you.
Thank you. Does that mean I can plug my tour then?
You can plug your tour.
Okay,
plug your shit, man.
Look here. So we got two L.A. dates.
Oh, word, okay.
Yeah, we got one in Orange County at Chain Reaction on the 19th.
That's right.
On the 18th.
Okay.
And then we got the Troubadour on the 19th.
Right.
Yeah.
And if people want to grab tickets, support it. And if they're obviously worldwide with it, I know it's just specifically on the kind of like the West Coast. But if people want to grab tickets and support, where can they
go? Humblebeast.com. You could go humblebeast.com/tensiontour or just if you just go to the site. It's on and it's the link on all of my social media. So I'm like, please buy these tickets.
Prop hip-hop.
So they there. Prop hip hop. And like you guys, if you guys want to give away some tickets, like let me know. Give them away.
Fuck it. Let's do it.
Give some tickets away.
We'll do it on the website.
There it is.
Appreciate you coming on through,
Appreciate y'all having me, man.
Let's keep this conversation going. And anything you need from us in the future, you got us, man. So shouts out to homie Propaganda.
Hey.
On Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head. We out.
Let's go.